Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through chapter 6, verse 9. This can be found on page 1162 of your pew Bible. Today's reading provides instruction for relationships in Christian households that model the relationship of the church to Christ. A reading from Ephesians, beginning in chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying this, it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pastor David sat across from me in my office. And it was just a week before I was due to leave on a mission trip to Pakistan. And what was going on in the country at the time was there were rumors of election fraud, there was heightened military presence, and there were riots that led to loss of life. And so Pastor David looked at me and he said, "Heather, you shouldn't go to Pakistan." And because at the time was an Army Reserve chaplain, I decided I better hear him out on this. And so he told me, "I think you might be able to get over there, but you may not be able to get out." So I said to him, "You know, Mark, my husband, is a big researcher of news. He's looking at international news, geopolitical news, and I have given him a full veto power to say no for me going if he discerns in prayer and research that this is somehow unsafe, even up to the point where the plane is boarding." And so Pastor David's response to me was, and he liked to tease, you should know that, he said, "Heather, I am so glad to hear you are submitting to your husband. Now, I was asked after the second service, yes, I did go to Pakistan, and yes, I did get out. So that was a good story. But this sermon series that we're in right now in Ephesians is all about our identity in Christ and finding our purpose in him. Those first three chapters talk about what God did for us, and the last three chapters talk about what does it mean for us to walk out our identity in Christ. And what we find as we're doing it, especially in today's text, is that our relationships as Christians should look different. When they're in a good place, they lead to abundant life. And no matter who we are, God calls us to reveal Jesus' love to the world in how we love one another, just as Jesus did for us. These are lessons in love. Now, Paul's describing a new kind of community that happens when we submit and when we lead. And we get to submit to God and to one another as Jesus did with the Father. Now, I want to say, I know for many hearing these texts and the word submission today, it can be a little bit like a gut punch. I don't know anyone who likes the idea of submitting. We like to be in charge and in control. In America, we value independence and individualism. Other cultures don't have as a hard time as we do with the idea of submitting. But not only do we react because of our culture, but we also do so because of our personal history that impacts our reading of the scripture. Most people I know have been wounded by someone in authority in their past. It may have happened in their family, their school, work, or even church. We live in a broken and fallen world, and people in power don't always honor those under their authority. That pain is real. When we've been harmed in past relationships, we need to be healed in present and future ones with God and with one another. And when we have been mistreated by someone in authority, it can actually make it hard for us to trust God, our ultimate authority. And if that's true for you today, I invite you to hold that pain that you feel in one hand. And in the other hand, I want you to be open to the Holy Spirit coming alongside you and caring for you and helping you to see clearly God's vision for relationships. The gospel tells us that God has more in store for us than our past pain, and we don't have to pass our hurt on to others. God can reframe this for us and free us from brokenness and bitterness. He can redeem our story as we grow more in our identity in Christ. And this text tells us something radical, that we show Jesus' love to the world in how we honor and love those in authority over us, a boss, teacher, spouse, parent, and how we lead those under us. The idea of submitting is an invitation, not a hammer. I hope in our time together this morning that we actually redeem the word submit, and we get in doing so, we're going to get to experience an even greater measure of God's love. For us, submission is countercultural, but there is a place all of us can relate to it, and that's in the military. Interestingly enough, the Greek word hupotasso was found in a lot of Greek writing, not only in the New Testament, in secular writing, and there it referred to being arranged under, and it was talking about the military. So in the military, you submit to someone of higher rank. A soldier arranges himself in order under his sergeant. A general submits to the commander-in-chief. Everything is arranged in order under to another person. And we see in that setting, there is a right order to relating. In the New Testament, the Greek word for submit, hupotasso, appears 40 times. And the biblical definition is expanded. It includes surrender, yield, defer out of respect, because someone might have more authority, or you defer because of love. And I hope you see that what that's saying in words like surrender, yield, and defer is that you actually have the right and the power to submit to someone else. It's a choice to defer. And the New Testament tells us not only to submit when it comes to marriage and family, but employment, to the government, and even to church leadership. While our passage is talking about submitting to one another, all of us are called to submit to God as our highest authority. Jesus leads the way in this. Jesus, in all his glory, was submissive. He subjected himself, he hupotasso, to the Father for kingdom purposes. And if he's done this for us, we are invited to do the same with God and one another. Now, let me preface what we're about to get into by telling you what submission is not. Sadly, this text has been misused over the years and done much harm. Biblical submission is not about putting up with abuse, domination, or another's sin. Christians are not called to be doormats. We have a courageous call to speak the truth in love and to work for God's best for others. When it comes to abuse, whether it's physical or psychological, we should not allow someone's sin to create further harm. And by not allowing someone to abuse us, we're submitting to God's better call for that person's life. The first thing we need in those circumstances is to get to safety and get help. Speak to a pastor, a friend, or a counselor about this. There are resources available. Now, there's another exception to what the word submission is about, and that is when someone pressures us to do something that God says not to do, even if they're in authority over us. And I want to give you a biblical example. We see this with Peter and John when they're in conflict with Jewish authorities who were telling them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Here's their response. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You can check that out, Acts 4. So the order is important. First, we submit to God unconditionally, and then we submit to one another and the institutions around us who God has given authority to when it doesn't violate God's law. Now, we've looked at what submitting is, and we've looked at what submitting is not. And before we unpack all those verses that follow in chapter 5, I want you to underline the first verse that we started with, because this verse is the overarching truth for the whole passage. That's chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. To one another. Do you see? That's mutual submission. This is what Christ-centered relationships look like. Whatever position you're in, you submit one to another. And under this umbrella, we see what it means to be in Christ in all areas of our life, marriage, parenting, and work. We love like Jesus did because we're doing it out of reverence for him. So I want to take a look now at how human relationships were designed to flourish. We'll come back to husband and wife in a minute, but I want to speak briefly to the verses that follow. We'll see with children and parents. Children are called to honor and obey our parents for a full and long life. And parents, don't be harsh, but understanding as you provide them with instruction and guardrails and you teach them about faith. Both are called to do what is best for the other. Biblical submission does not mean you're inferior to your authority. In fact, we may remember the story in the Bible about Jesus when he was 12 years old. He submitted to his parents, leaving the temple and going home with them. If it's good enough for God, that's pretty good for us. So there's another group, and that word doulos can be translated slaves or bondservants and masters. So bondservants had every reason to be defensive and resent their masters. But Paul says, to be honest, and want good for them. Masters are held accountable for their actions and should not threaten or mistreat those under their authority. God views both of them the same. Like with parents, masters are told to care for and submit to those under their authority. Do the same for them. These were radically reciprocal relationships. Scripture's not encouraging or condoning having bondservants or slavery, but Paul was writing in practical ways to deal with the realities of his day. In fact, in Philemon, Paul writes encouraging those receiving the letter to grant Onesimus' freedom. But not just freedom from bondage. He went further than that, and he said that they should treat him as a son and a brother. What Paul is describing in this passage here can be applied to our work roles, both as employees and as managers. For all Christ followers, Paul encourages us to view one another as having equal value in God's eyes. I want to refer back to a verse we looked at a couple weeks ago, Galatians 3:28. It tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Within the existing structures of his day, of when Paul is writing, these were radical levels of social and gender divisions overcome in the gospel. Now, in order to understand how truly surprising Paul's message was, we get to turn to husbands and wives. You must know, in the first century context, husbands could do anything he wanted to his wife, children, and bondservants and slaves in his household. Anything he wanted. And most women were uneducated, had no legal standing, and they were possessions. So the call to tell husbands and wives to mutually submit is radical. And as we look at what is called for as a husband and wife, I want you to hear very clearly that this is not about how all women should treat all men. In fact, it's not even how secular marriages should go. This is telling us how Christ-centered marriages can flourish when they operate out of Christ's love. Now, if you're not married, many of these verses still apply to you because they're describing Jesus' passion for us, his bride, the church. Let's look together at verses 22 through 30. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Well, wives, get to submit. This means we get to yield or defer to our spouses. That says, again, we have the ability and the right to choose to honor and uphold our husbands. Tim Keller said, a husband needs to earn his wife's faith in him, and then she gives him authority. It's not something he can take or demand of her. Now, wives, I hope you notice that what the husbands are called to do, it's a lot harder. And Paul also spent three times the amount of space telling the husbands what to do than the women. That's because they have more responsibility. Now, living in Christ, a husband leads well. He doesn't lord it over his wife. He serves her as he's willing to sacrifice himself for her. He helps her to glorify God and grow close to him. And he loves her as he loves his own body. He nourishes and cherishes her. Wow, that's a big ask, isn't it? A lot of important things there. He values her even more than himself. And when he treats his wife that way, it's a lot easier for his wife to defer and yield to him because there's safety, trust, and love. Now, there's more to this passage. Let's take a look together at verses 31 to 33. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, this beautiful text talks about this new relationship which takes precedent over others, and this is the closest human relationship to what God wants with each one of us. His church, that is marriage, where two mysteriously become one. There was a Christian event where they had a large group of husbands and wives, and they separated them into two rooms, and they tried to distill down what is the one word you most want from your spouse. And you know what the men said? They said, respect. And you know what the women said? They said, love. Look at how prescient Paul was. Verse 33 says, husbands, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I remember back in college with a group of friends trying to understand this difficult text, and one of them said, look, he's got to lay down his life for me. All I got to do is respect him. Everybody felt good after that. So what does this form of submission look like? Well, couples seeking to follow Jesus are still going to have disagreements and debates, and they won't see things the same way. They need to stay connected, to listen to each other and give and take, mutually submit when it comes to how to move forward together. That is biblical. It's iron sharpening iron. And the way I read this text is that in decision-making, when you've done your very best to find consensus, but a decision still needs to be made, the husband who has more responsibility can break the tie. Now, I want to tell you a story about this because Mark and I have been very blessed that in our life, almost every single decision has reached consensus. But there was an incident early on in our marriage that taught me I could trust him to lead. I could actually relax in his leadership. And that was that 16 years ago when we got married, my daughter, who was six, and I, Elise and I, moved to Darien to be with Mark and his kids. And when I got there, Mark felt very strongly that Elise, who was attending Stanwich School, should go to the Darien school systems so that she could have friends in the neighborhood, and also because his older kids had such a positive experience. Now, I didn't think he was right. I wasn't sure he was right. And so we decided that we would keep Elise at Stanwich School one more year. During that year, Mark invited me to go with him on a tour of the elementary school just down the road, and he even arranged for us to meet with the principal to talk about the school together. And he never pressured me and said, this is what you need to do. He was patient and he respected my hesitation. So within a few months, I decided that I would submit to his lead and that Elise would start that following fall in that elementary school down the road. And that incident taught me, by the way, he was exactly right. But that incident taught me that I could trust his lead because I knew that he wanted what was best for me and he loved me. And that helped with a lot of other decisions we've had to deal with along the way. But husbands, I have a charge to you. Don't you want to know the strength and courage of leading well by calling out the good in the people around you, your wife and children? I know how important fathers are who speak words of affirmation and connect with their children. When men come to church, it has a powerful impact on their family. And wives, we have the opportunity to honor, upbuild, and encourage our husband by respecting him in ways that help him be the man God created him to be. As he leads well and is trustworthy, we get to relax. We can ask God for a vision of who he is becoming and pray for God's blessing on him. Now, for all of us, whether you are a child, parent, spouse, friend, family, or part of our church family, you are in relationships. Whatever role you're in, leading or submitting, we can all do this in love and serve one another. Because in Christ, it's not about who's right or wrong, who's in control or gets their way. The Jesus way of love is about who can serve and forgive, be humble, and apologize first. Submitting to Christ is how we find the grace to submit to one another. Now, if any of you feel this is a heavy calling, remember, for all of us, none of us can do any of this. We can't live this out unless we're asking for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, with wisdom, strength, and the fruits of the Spirit. We can't do these things, but he can through us. And we do this out of love for God. We're called to pray for those in authority. No human's going to lead perfectly. Only God can. Sometimes relationship challenges like a difficult boss or a defiant toddler are part of how God's growing us to love him and others well. And I'll tell you a story for me where it happened in the workplace. Years ago, when I was a full-time professor, we had a new hire who was in authority over me. And this person, I felt, did not really respect me. They limited my role without my input or reading past student evaluations. And frankly, I was hurt and angry. And I didn't want to sin in my anger, and I felt God put it on my heart to pray for this person. But I didn't want to. And God insisted. And I realized I better submit to God about this. So I began praying, and my initial prayers were, God, correct this person and get them in line. Over time, my prayers started to shift, and I began to pray for this person's welfare and that they would get close to God. And I realized in that moment, as that shift was happening, what God allowed to happen was that I was able to take back the power I had given this person with my bitterness and resentment, and my heart was beginning to soften. Because of Jesus' deep, deep love for us, he submitted to the will of the Father. He submitted to the limitations of being human. He submitted to death and the evil intent of others. He laid down his power and his life so we could receive new and eternal abundant life. And by his Holy Spirit power, we can live out our Christ identity. It's the Holy Spirit who knits us together in love. And others will see that we are Christians by our love, and they'll want to know Jesus more too. So I want to end this time today with just a moment of reflection and a closing prayer for us. So I invite you to close your eyes, to remember that God's Holy Spirit presence is here. God wants you to receive his love and grace and healing, but there may be some things you need to let go of fully to take them in. Ask God to bring to mind someone in authority who has hurt you. I want to give you an opportunity to release to God the offense, the memory, and pain of what you've been through, to trust that that was not God's intent for you, but that he did allow it to happen. Whatever it is, I'm sorry that this happened and that you experienced this. I believe God can redeem this part of your story because he can redeem everything. You are his beloved, and deep healing is possible as you draw close to him. You have the power and the opportunity to surrender it to God, even eventually to forgive. You can ask God to refill you with his hope and joy, to help you choose love even when it's difficult. When we risk loving and trusting, God can reveal his glory. As Jesus said to the disciples in John 13, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So, Lord, we offer all of this to you. We ask you to expand our hearts to love like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.